Simon Shin Nun Gimel Tziv Beis. This. Okay, we need picture. The picture. I strongly recommend the picture Mishnah Berurah. If anybody's got this edition, if you look at page 410. So opposite that, there's three pictures. That's the ones we're going to need. So it's Simon Shin Nun Gimel Tziv Beis, and we need the following three pictures with that. So this is a protrusion. Tanu Dafa Boile Min HaKoslid. This is something which is sticking out in the wall. Rishus Rabim to Rishus Rabim. Lemalo, so it's over the Rishus Rabim. Lemalo Me'asoro. So it's very much the picture number four. You can see there's a protrusion sticking out of Rishus Yochid. This is the private house. Very nice. Very, very nice. Have you got it? Opposite page 410. Yeah? So there's that protrusion sticking out of a private domain, and it's over Rishus Rabim. I don't know if the tree on the side looks realistic. What do you think about the tree on the side? Any graphic experts? Chaim, what do you tell about the tree? It's meant to be more than Yutfachim. Looks right. Okay, looks right. Okay, now we've got this protrusion which is sticking out. Is it a balcony? Well, it's not really a balcony. It's really a board sticking out from this window. So now, v'yesh lo yabo al abo, and it's 4 and 4 tfachim, which it is. We can see it's 4 and 4 tfachim. And v'chaloyin abayis posuach lo, in the window of the Rishus Yochid is going into that. Mishtam shnelov, you can use it. Why can you use it? Why can you use that area? Why can you carry within that area? So if you've got something there, you can lift it up, you can put it down. Why can you? It is a Rishus Yochid, but it's not a Rishus Yochid in his own right. That's right. So that's the rule of Chorei Rishus Yochid, which literally means the holes of Rishus Yochid, which doesn't really mean the holes. It means that something which is an extension, was that the word used? An extension of Rishus Yochid is part of Rishus Yochid. So this board, this protrusion, since it's connected to Rishus Yochid, it will have the halachic status of Rishus Yochid. Mishtam Shnelov, and therefore you can carry over it and on it. If you've got two protrusions, picture number 5, one on top of the other, they belong to two individuals. So ground floor and top floor, they belong to two different people. If they have got 4 and 4 tfachim space, which they do, right? They're larger than 4 tfachim, so that the board is more than 4 tfachim. Also, the shtamish olav, it is also to be mishtamish, mipnei shu rishus bifnei atzmoi, because it is rishus bifnei atzmoi, v'aziz shetachto rishus acheres v'oysen zel azeh. So let me explain that. So this is nothing directly got to do with Talach of Etzol. There's a concept of besides the Halacha of carrying on Shabbos because of Roshuyos, there's also another Halacha that it's a rabbinical restriction, which we're going to speak much more about it in the later Siman, which is the Halacha of if somebody's got an Eruv, it's really, really Eruv Chaseiros. That if somebody's got a private domain, and in that private domain, he makes his own, let's say the Rishus Yochid, an enclosed area, which is a private domain. I'm putting my house there, or putting my tent there, and that's where I'm living. Somebody else is doing exactly the same thing. And they're all Rishus Yochid. He's got a Rishus Yochid there, he's got in his little space there, he's got his flat there, and I've got my flat there, or a tent, or a house, whatever it is. It's all in a Rishus Yochid, but the halacha is, since there are two different people, so therefore, the halacha is, you have to make an Eruv to combine those people living together. If you don't do an Eruv, Chachamim made a restriction in Issa Rabbanon that you may not carry there as if it would be Rishus Rabbi. Not only that. But Oysen Zal Zeh. So they Asa one another. So they cannot now carry in any area because they Asa one on another. So this is really much what's happening over here. Since those two boards over here, they are real, genuine Rishus Yochids. They are 4 on 4, the high Yud Fochim, the protrusions, the Chol Rishus Yochid. But, since they belong to two different people, the lower one belongs to Reuven, the higher one belongs to Shimon. So, it's true that they're Rishus Yochids, but there is a halach over here that they need to make an eruv, and if they don't do an eruv, then they'll be also to carry. They'll be also to carry not only they themselves, but they ask on one another. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, yeah, within the space, within the house. No, it will be also no. Yeah, because it belongs to one person only. In picture number 5, the reason why it is also to use those spaces is because it belongs to two different people. I'm going through the words of Shulchan Aruch. Ve'im shel shnei anoshim. There's two. Absolutely. In number 5, you cannot, because let's look at the words of Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at the first line, last few words. If there was two zizin, two protrusions, one on top of the other, belong to two different people. Afalpi, although, they're both higher than Yudfochim. Him yesh bezez or elyein, shelifnei achaloin, if the top one, which is before the window, rechav ha'abal ha'boi, is 4 and 4 tfochim, also lishtam shalav, you may not use it. Why? Bimnei shu rishus bifnei atzmo, it's considered its own domain, rishus yochet, but it's its own domain, v'aziz shetachtov, rishus acheres, and the lower protrusions is its own domain, its own right, for oysen ze al ze, and they become, they ask one another. They become also one another. They ask one another. V'im ein ba'elyin, v'im ein ba'elyin ha'bo, and if they don't have 4 and 4 for him, these protrusions, then it will be mutter to carry on both of them. And certainly on the wall, until further lower down. The reason is because then they're not considered its own domain. Since it's not considered its own domain, so therefore Chazal never asked they don't ask one another. It's not its own domain. It's not its own rishus yochid. If the lower one was 4 and 4 tefachim, and the top one doesn't have 4 and 4, then ainu mishtamish ba'elyin. Then you cannot carry on the top one. Elo keneged chaloinu bilvat. They can only if the top one doesn't have 4 and 4, then you'll be able to carry. That's the picture number. The picture number 6. If the top one is smaller, can you see it's less than 4 tefachim? Then the halacha will be any mishtamish ba'elyin keneged chaloinu bilvat. The top one you can carry right opposite the window. You'll be allowed to carry. Havel b'shar aziz shebishnei tzlod ha'elyin also lishtamish mipnei zeh shetachtov shecholak rishus la'atzmoim. But the other one will be also to use. So the point being, if it is large enough to be its own rishus, then it's considered a rishus. Two rishus yochid, which will require therefore an eruv, and failing to have an eruv, you will ask one another, and you're not allowed to carry. However, if it is more than 4 and 4 tefachim, then it's not considered its own rishus, it will be part of the house, and therefore will not be able to ask one another. Siv Gimel, kol shebishnei tzidei chaloin osel ishtamesh bifnei zeh shtachto, sorry, kol ziz hayoytza alavir rishus rabim. Look at picture number 4. If you've got this protrusion over the Rishus Rabim, Shemot Elesh Tam Shalav, we said you're allowed to carry there. Picture number 4. Shemesh Tam Shboi, if you're using it, Einoist Nolav, Veinoit Limimeno, Elo Klecher Zuz Chuchis V'chiyot Zibuen. You may only use it for earthenware or glass. Why? V'chiyot Zibuen, Shemipo Rishus Rabim Yishavu. Items that if you use them, if they slip out of your hands, and they're going to fall on the floor, they're going to break. Why is that? We learned yesterday, why is that? Why can you only use things that would break if they would fall? Exactly, very good. Because of the same reason. But if you're talking about plastic items, or any other items which is not going to break, if it falls down, asurim, you're not allowed to use on this protrusion, because perhaps they're going to fall down, and they're not going to break, and you're going to end up carrying the Rishus Rabim. Yeah, so dafka ziz v'chiyotze b'zeh. Look at the Omer. It is only with regards to a protrusion like a board like this. But if it is a wide item, kigag like a roof, shamishtamesh oymet sham imakli, if you've got enough space to stand there with a kli, so it's not just a protrusion, but it's actually an area you could stand there, mutal eshtamesh b'chalakim, you'll have to use everything there. So this gzera is only established if it's a small protrusion. Or the, yeah. V'imoy aziz echot levadoi, Yoetzah alavi kamelis, if it's going over the kamelis, if this patrushin is going over kamelis, no, she's rabbim. Kol shekveh asorah le'oyla muta, if it's higher than the tefachim, always be muta to use. Pein rochah ben kotzer, whether it's long or short, wide or narrow. Ve'afilu kelim she'en mishtabim, and even kelim which are not going to break, shalu gozer v'kamelis, because it's all gzeirah, it doesn't apply to a kamelis. Yeah. We learned yesterday a lot about the... Remember we discussed yesterday chalitza? Chalitza. Page 372, second line. We are not to do chalitza on Shabbos, you're not to do yibam on Shabbos. But in koitzin, koitzin is also talking about it's also about a type of marrying somebody, which is the chuppah. V'loy mekachin, you're not to do kiddushin, v'loy marichin. Marichin is something else altogether. Mishtebusiv Kotten Chavdala tells us, loy marichin, she'ema er ki olai. It's a kind of neder, ho hekdash, to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, hekdash kifi shonov, tavi kemekach umemka. You're not to makdash something to the Beis HaMikdash. You make makdash something. Now, how does it end up in Shulchan Aruch? And Shulchan Aruch was hundreds of years after the Beis HaMikdash was... You're not to makdash something to the Beis HaMikdash. See, this item of here will belong... I'm sanctifying this for the Beis HaMikdash. Is that proper hekdash? Loi marichin. Normally, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention halachas which are only relevant in the Beis HaMikdash times, generally. So it's a bit of a chiddush of here that loi marichin comes into it, because it is considered shenoyis l'hekdash kifishonov. So I think the answer is right, what Rav Feingold says, that there's also a concept of being makdish something to a Beis HaMikdash or a shul. If I donate something to a shul, it's also a type of hekdash. On Shabbos, no. It's melekechom. Shulchan Aruch says, "Loi ma'arichin." Mishlebur says, "If kodesh chovdalet shem erki olai, ho erich ployni olai." The following value will belong to the makdish that shenoyis lehekdash kifi shonov. If somebody says, "My value goes to the Beis HaMikdash," or "My age goes to the Beis HaMikdash." So if you are let's say 45 years old, so 45, the amount of 45 will then go to the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that also? Because it's like a business transaction. Since it's like a business transaction, we'll be also to do on Shabbos. Letzorech mitzvah. Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking about it now. You're right. Letzorech mitzvah generally do. Mekach umemka. I don't know. It's a good question. I do not know why this is also. It's a really good question. I don't know. Good question. Loi marichin, loi machrimin. You don't have to put somebody in cherem on Shabbos. Do not put somebody in cherem on Shabbos. Do it on a Tuesday instead. For loy mafrishin tumas and maizes, you're not allowed to take separate tumas and maizes on Shabbos. Vein poedin aben, you don't do pidin aben. And that's really relevant. Because when do we do pidin aben? Yeah, very good. So Mishnah Berurah actually speaks over here, if it's the 30th or the 31st day, Mishnah Berurah goes in detail about that. But either way, often, it will end up, the 30th day will end up on a Shabbos. So what do you do then? So if the Pinyin HaBen has to be done on the 30th day, so when do you do how do you do the Pinyin HaBen if it falls on Shabbos? Oh, so very good. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so that's really what you may not do a Pinyin HaBen on Shabbos. You may not do Pinyin HaBen on Shabbos, and you'll have to push it off for Motzei Shabbos. Ve'en Megoshin, to get divorced on Shabbos is also as well. Elohim Kain who gets Shchiv Merah, unless it's a Shchiv Merah, somebody's just about to die. We're talking of the Alma. Somebody's just about to die, and for whatever reason, we want him to still divorce his wife, then you may accept the divorce, or in fact, even write the divorce on Shabbos, write that to write get on Shabbos. If we are concerned, he may not make it through Shabbos. If we want, yeah, so. For instance, an example, when would we want to get to it? When were we so desperate for a get? So the example brought down in Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Choftes is, Oh, because we're aware of a Yibum. That's right. So the Sifkot Chof Tes tells us, Hainu Shiroitze Legarish Ishtoi, we want him to divorce his wife. Kedei, in order Shiroit Yizok Leibum, we don't want her to fall to the Yibum. So if she is married, if this is not a man who's married to a woman and he's about to die, they have no children, and we know that if he dies, she will not be able to do Yibum Machalitza because his brother is the kind of fellow that he just moved to Venezuela and forget about it. He's never going to give Chalitza. So we're worried about her. We don't want her to be Miss Agan. We don't want her to be a Neguna. So therefore we're going to force him to write to get now. We're going to allow him to write to get now in order to protect her from becoming an Aguna. So he's going to be able to write. If we're worried about it, he might not make it through Matzah Shabbos. So we're going to allow him to write to get on Shabbos. And she's going to be divorced and then there won't be a need for Yibum. If all those things were done on Shabbos, so if a Kiddushin took place on Shabbos, a Chalitza took place on Shabbos, a Yibum took place on Shabbos, a Get took place on Shabbos, Shogigin or Mezidin, if it was by mistake, if it was Shogig or Mezidin, it was done on Mezid, within Umutin, or it was a mistake, whatever it may have happened, Masha, also, he would still work, but Yevet. So the Mishnah also speaks about a chuppah which was done on Shabbos and Sifkot Lamed Beis, although the Kenyan was done by Issa. But if it did happen, one can but Yevet, then it's still working. The Mishnah speaks. Pardon?
If he's a Shrivnira, he can hardly sign. He's going to be dancing, nothing.
I know, but he can appoint a shliach still. Good work. So we're talking about somebody. You're right. We're talking about somebody who's still with it. Yeah, he's good enough to still. We'll encourage him to write to get. Mishnah Buddha, the poets can discuss what happens if a lady forgot to take challah. If a lady forgot to take challah over challahs, you allowed to take challah on Shabbos? You leave it. You leave some to the side. You have to make sure that it's not doing boil then. Yeah, so in principle, the halacha is to take challah, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Chavav tells us, just like Strumas and Maizes also, so also word in challah. You're not allowed to take challah on Shabbos. Now,
what
if you realize, then you should take do what Reb Gideon suggests. You should keep some to the side. It's interesting though that the Poskim say, Tzvi Pesach Frank, and I think others as well, I remember seeing this Shtikel Torah, famous Shtikel Torah, that if a lady was Matlik Ne'er, she lit the candles, and then she realized that she didn't take challah, so we assume that Adlokas Ne'er was not valid. Because she would never, ever, normally, under normal circumstances, this is one of her mitzvahs, challah is one of her mitzvahs, and therefore, she wouldn't, under normal circumstances, do Adlokas Ne'er, she wouldn't light candles if she didn't take challah. So therefore, it was a Kabbalah betos, that Lucas Neir was betos, and therefore she wasn't a Kabbalah Shabbos, so she could still be mafresh challah. But that's only, obviously, if it was before Shkia. If she chapped after Shkia, then it wouldn't work, and she's still in Kabbalah Shabbos. So, Alok Lamai say, if a lady forgot to take challah, and it's after Shkia, she should take some of the challah, not formally be mafresh it, take it, and after Shabbos to be mafresh it. I don't remember. Yeah, it's, yeah. Maybe not, yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, it is. And yeah, could be. I don't know what you do to the Maase if you forgot to take Tumas and Maase on Shabbos. Okay, see if Hayakonis Abbas Almona Loyovo Aleh Birishoina. Somebody who marries an Almona, a widow, Loyovo Aleh Birishoina, Loy B'Shabbos Aleh B'Yomtev. Yeah, you should not have any. Shouldn't be on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Also, new topic about not only a person is allowed to swim on Shabbos, but a person is allowed to float and b'mayim. So this is talking about not only allowed to swim, but also to make something float, to use a floating item on Shabbos also as well. So you wouldn't be allowed to take I'm reading the words of Shulchan Aruch again. Also la'odon, person is not allowed to. La'oshit b'mayim, floating item, davon item. La'olicha me'atzloi, to move it away from him. Or la'avia etzloi, or to bring it towards him. You know when you have something in the water and you make the water go away and this floating item move away from himself, that'll be also. Therefore, kisamim shal pnei ha'mayim, if you've got little wooden sticks in the water, also la'avtzinon lekan u'lekan, you're not to, like, what's that called? You're not allowed to...
Swish.
That's the word. You're not allowed to swish it away. Lekan or lekan, either towards you, away from you. Kelelinako is a mime, to clear the water from these impure items. Kishu yofim, that the water should be clean and clear. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. No, it doesn't have to be, even if it's out of the water. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. Lahoshit b'mayim is talking about making this lahoshit b'mayim is it comes from lashon swimming, but it's not talking about swimming because that would be lahoshit. Lahoshit means to make something float, a floating object, to move a floating object in the water. That is what it's over here. If it, let's say we designated it before Shabbos, so it wouldn't be mukta. Yeah, so it wouldn't be. Yeah, let's say you have a play boat, which is not mukta. So the halacha would be that you wouldn't be allowed to make it float. But having said that, Mishnah Berurah does qualify that. In Sefkot Lamedal, it calls it benot, it's only with in a river. Avol bekli, but if it's in a pool, or bevrecho, in a closed pool, sheish lo safo lo gazu, tis gzeh also is only made in a river, in a beach or something where there is no border. But if there's a surrounding border, Chazal didn't forbid this, and it would be similar to the halacha of swimming on Shabbos. And finally, Siv Zayin, Sfino, a boat, Im Yosheves Bekar Kayom, if the boat is sitting, if it's positioned, Bekar Kayom, in the floor of the sea, Ve'eino Shotoklal, and it's not swimming at all. Mutar Likones Ba, you'd like to enter a boat. You're allowed to go in a boat on Shabbos. Vimikshura, so that's if it's on dry land, you're just allowed to walk into it, it's no problem. Vimikshura, but if it's floating and it's connected, it's tied to the shore, then kiminegas finos oimdis benomel, like the custom of the boats which are standing in the port, aval pishe shota up the amayim, although it is floating and swimming in the water, mota lekonis, but you're allowed to go in it. So this is, you would have thought maybe you're not allowed to go into a boat on Shabbos. So there's no issa to go into a boat on Shabbos. You'd be allowed to. Just, so if it's static, you're allowed to go into it, that's fine. But even if it's floating, you're still allowed to go into it as long as it's tied onto the safe ground, you'd be allowed to go into it. To go in a plane, it would be the same. Yeah, I think it's a nice comparison. And I think the halacha would be that, assuming there's no electricity and all that, assuming you're not switching anything on and off by going in and out, I think that probably the halacha is right. You'd be allowed to, yeah. I think that would be the same. As long as it's not moving, of course, once it would move, it would go out of the tchum, it would be also. But if it's stationary, I think you could argue, maybe. And I hear your point of Maris Ein, and there probably isn't Maris Ein over here because it's evident that it's not moving, right? It is clear that it's not moving, as opposed to a static bus. Normally a bus will move, and there's probably more of an element of Maris Ein. I'm not sure, there might be Maris Ein. Yeah, it could be. Right, so that's really good. So we covered this evening the halachas of no chalitza, no yibum, no kiddushin on Shabbos, no hektish on Shabbos, no tumas and maestas, no chal on Shabbos, no pitin aben on Shabbos, no get on Shabbos. If they were done, however, but yeah, it's fine. We learned the halacha of make a floating object move on Shabbos, which is awesome. We learned also about entering a boat, which is muta on Shabbos. And with this, we have completed Simon Shin Lametes, and then we will start Bez Hashem tomorrow, Simon Shin Mem Bez Hashem. Good evening.